everyone. This is Cindy LeBlanc, and welcome to the My Rabbit Grace podcast. This is podcast number 8, and it's going to be called Setting Up a Day Room or Exercise Room for Your Rabbit. First, I want to give a quick introduction, I hope it's quick, on why I do this podcast. Well, this podcast, called My Rabbit Grace, is a way of sharing my experiences that I've had with both my rabbit who was passed on, Wabbert, and also my rabbit that I currently have, which is Gracie. And I've had rabbits for over 12 years, and I've had a lot of experiences with taking care of them and being a friend to them. And through those years, I have done some things right and some things wrong, and I'm here to share my experiences, both right and wrong, to possibly help other rabbit owners or rabbit lovers. So that's the reason why I do this podcast, and I hope that you enjoy it. So with that, I will go ahead and move on to the subject matter. First, I want to apologize for the long delay in producing the interval that was between last podcast and this one. Unfortunately, I hate to get too into my personal thing, but just to let you know what's going on with me, it's kind of bad news, but then really good news. I have a dog who is a mixed breed. She's a Chow and possibly Shepherd and possibly Golden Retriever, kind of a mixed dog. She's about 80-pound mixed breed, 12 years old, and a month and a half ago she got diagnosed with advanced Cushing's disease. And I've been a wreck. Well, I was a wreck for the first 3 to 4 weeks, and I was really a wreck the first week or so because she was pretty much terminally ill. And the way I am with my dog, Ginger is her name, is I really, really love that dog. She's spoiled rotten. She's been my buddy for 12 years, and although I know at 12 years for a big dog that you should be thankful that you've had that long, well, as life has it, we always want a little bit more. And when I got the news of Cushing's disease, thank God for the internet to help with the diagnosis, to lead the vet in the right direction. Basically, you know, she got diagnosed with it, and she was pretty advanced. And I didn't know if she was going to have to be put down from one day to the next. We found a wonder drug in England about a week after she was diagnosed, a drug that supposedly you couldn't get without an FDA approval, which takes 4 weeks in the U.S., and somehow we managed to work it through, through connections and whatnot, and also going the traditional route, but in the meantime having a supply to keep her going. The good news about the whole thing is this dog, a month later, well, it only took about a week for most of the symptoms to be alleviated, to the point where I didn't feel like any second she'd have to be put down. Now it's a month and a half later, and although I understand she's terminally ill and that she has limited time in the best circumstances, she's really living a much, much better quality of life. And although she's not walking very well, I've been told that this could improve a little bit. So at least she's getting up and down to do her business, and she's really quite peaceful and happy, and seems to be more like the dog, though weaker. She seems like the dog that we've always been accustomed to, that we you know, we feel good about her progress. So that's the reason why there was such a long interval between the last podcast. So I just wanted to share that great news about my dog Ginger. And if anybody has a friend or something that needs more information about what we found out about this wonder drug for the Cushing's disease, please feel free to contact me, and I'll be more than happy to share it. My plan is to put together a little web page with the experiences from week to week, you know, from the beginning, what happened and how the progress was, and you know, eventually, you know, Ginger will pass on, but let's hope it's not for a long time. I plan to do the web page and also possibly a podcast to explain, you know, for people that are in that crazy state that I was in 6 weeks ago. So hopefully that will be helpful. Anyways, I know that you guys are rabbit fans, guys and gals, so I will, without delay, go ahead into the podcast number 8, My Rabbit Grace, setting up a day room or exercise room for your rabbit or rabbits. First, let me prelude this by saying, why would you even want to set up a day room or an exercise room for your rabbit? Well, rabbits, a lot of people just put them in the cage or in the hutch, and they don't really take them out, and they think that it's not a bad life. They're not meat rabbits. They're being treated with compassion, being petted, and possibly taken out to be petted during the day, or even taken out for a few moments here and there. Really, it seems to me, it occurs to me, I can't read a rabbit's mind, but it would occur to me that if I was in a similar circumstance and was dependent on someone else, that it would be nice to get out of the cage for however amount of time that, you know, as long as that caretaker or owner or friend that is taking care of me would allow. For myself, with my rabbit Grace, my little Gracie, she comes out of her cage, which is a very large cage, by the way, three story, but really only stands about 3.5 feet tall. But in any case, three levels. She comes out, I would say, 6 days out of 7. There might be one day where just circumstances have it where I can't get her out because of my busy schedule. Not usually any fault of Gracie's, but of my own. But, you know, what I can do is what I can do, and anything is better than nothing. So, about 6 days out of the week, I have a room set up, which is my bathroom. I have the master bathroom that I have set up for her to spend the entire day in. When I first started doing it, of course, I didn't trust, and good that you don't trust. I mean, you should always verify first that damage is not going to be done to your room that you set up, and also just to kind of get the rabbit used to being out and not have them freak out. You know, they don't typically freak out physically when you bring them out, if they would freak out at all. But, you know, mentally they might be very nervous. So it's best to start out with, you know, an hour, then maybe a couple hours, and then, you know, half a day. But do it over, you know, a week or two, you know, so that they start to feel comfortable with the room and what they can expect to happen and not happen in that room. So anyways, I let out Gracie most days of the week. And she goes in the bathroom, and the reason I picked the bathroom in my case is because I don't have an extra room that I could set up to accommodate her. There's special needs that have to be met when you want to bring your rabbit out to be exercised or just to hang out and stretch out and not feel like they're confined in a cage. I didn't have that extra room for that, so I thought, well, I've got a couple of bathrooms. One is pretty small, and if that's all I had, then that's what I would use. But my master bathroom is, you know, slightly bigger. It's not giant, but it's certainly slightly bigger than an average bathroom, and that's the room that I decided to set up for her to hang out in during the daytime or, you know, during her exercise time. You could do it in the evening if you preferred, or you could do it in the mornings. You could just do it, you know, do what you can do. I mean, you know, you might not feel comfortable letting them out every day or for some reason can't do it, but just do it as much as you can. You know, we're just here to help each other and not judge each other, and just to try to make our rabbit, our friend's life, you know, better in whatever way that is doable, that, you know, and in time it gets better. You know, if you can only start off with a couple times a week or, you know, a half hour a day, whatever you can do, just see if you could possibly let them out and hang out and not where they're being hovered over by, you know, a human trying to pick them up and stuff. Just give them that downtime. And I'm sure that, you know, however a rabbit appreciates, they will appreciate it. So anyways, I set up my master bathroom, and the reason I picked that is going to become clear when I talk about how you should set up a room. You can also do this with a spare room. So when I talk about this stuff, I'm referring to any room. The bathroom's a little bit easier because there's less things to consider, but there are still some things to consider there. And again, I would recommend the first time you let them out, be out with them. Maybe let them out in the room for half hour, 20 or 30 minutes, half hour, 20 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever you can do. Let them out with you in the room, close the door to the room, and just, you know, kind of do your own thing, like read a book or whatever, and just see how they are in the room. And do this maybe a few nights, because you'll find that, many rabbits will start to get into things, and you'll know what things they want to get into. Some might want to, you know, do a little digging, and if it's something like a bathroom or a tile floor or hardwood floors, it may not matter. So, but at least you get an idea of what kind of is attracting their attention. My rabbit tends to like to dig a little just before she's getting ready to slump down and stretch out and relax. And the digging is just sort of, I guess, an inherited trait where she kind of digs. It's not like major hard or anything, and it certainly does no damage to the linoleum in the bathroom. I might feel a little bit differently if it was on carpet, because, you know, their claws can get caught up in the threads, and some rabbits might dig a little more vigorously, but for me and the linoleum, it isn't an issue. And she only does it for maybe, she'll kind of dig for 10 seconds, then she'll kind of like look around or walk around from one length of the room to the other, and then go back, dig a little more for 15 seconds or so, and then eventually slump down. So it's kind of a trait that I think that many rabbits have to do that. It's maybe it reverts back to when they were doing their burrows, and they would kind of dig a little hollow in the ground, and then once they had that little hollow, they would, you know, get in there and get nice and cool and lay down. Maybe it's just an inherited thing, even though they're obviously not digging a hollow in the room or in the bathroom. It's just something that they still do. So, anyways, if you hear a little shuffling of pages, it is me kind of going over my notes. I certainly won't read them, but I will try to stay on track and by looking over at them to make sure that I've covered what I consider some of the more important points. Okay, one thing that you kind of have to be aware of in the room that you set up for your rabbit is outlets and cords. The outlets, meaning electrical outlets, where you plug in your cords and stuff, what you'll want to do is, you know, say it's a spare room that you have, and obviously we have these outlets that are about a foot or so from the floor, and then we'll have lamps plugged into them, or I don't know, cameras or computers or who knows what, depending on what's in this room. If you have set up, or you're setting up an exercise room in a room that has cords that are plugged in, you'll either need to cover up those cords and the outlets that they're plugged into, or you'll want to remove, you know, just unplug the gadgets, whatever's plugged in there, and put them up high, because for some reason rabbits just love to go after cords. Now you might think, well, if they bite into it, they might get a little shock and it would teach them and so forth. Well, trust me, I've gone through this and it doesn't teach them. I've even tried to, you know, thinking that I was somewhat clever, and oh, they'll never get back there to get that cord, and they did get back there. Or maybe my husband took out the rabbit and wasn't quite as careful with a cord, but I've had some chewed cords, and some of which were, the rabbit was never electrocuted. I don't know if she ever got shocked, because she certainly bit far enough into these cords that I would think it was a blessing she didn't get shocked and killed. But in any case, she really chewed up the cords to the point where they had to be thrown out. And if it's a computer cord, as we all know, those are very expensive to replace. Besides putting aside all the safety with the rabbit, just the cord itself, if it still gets through, like say it chews it when it's not plugged in, it's like $100 right there gone down. And as well, you might have a favorite lamp or whatever, and they chew the cord, and there goes the lamp as well. Your rabbit, as I said before, can get electrocuted and get killed. So that's another good reason why you definitely don't want that, you know, to have cords available. Now, the outlet itself is typically, in my experience, not a problem. As long as there's no cord hanging over there, there's no draw for them to go over there and start chewing on it, unless you have some kind of crazy outlet that has all kinds of, maybe some fancy thing with flowers sticking out or who knows what on the design of it, then they might go and chew the outlet itself. But as far as getting electrocuted on an unplugged, unused outlet, it's not been my experience to be an issue, just the cords themselves. So one of the ways, like I said, is that you can unplug everything, but that sometimes is a hassle if you're letting out your rabbit every single day to unplug and replug, especially if you're dealing with a lot of different plugs that are in the room. You can also, as an alternative, you could, I have found that those tubes that you can use, that you can encase your cords in, well, they would work for the cords themselves, but there's still the piece that plugs into the wall, and those don't typically fit into those tubes, those hard PVC tubes that you put the cords in. So, in my experience, they don't work very well. It just would depend on your rabbit. If your rabbit is inclined to go after the plug itself, then you know, you might want to find another alternative. And how to judge that, again, is, you know, letting out the rabbit while you're in the room and not paying much attention to it, let him or her get into whatever endeavors they're going to get into, and then you'll get an idea of where they're going to go, what they're going to go for. But another thing that you can do is you could have like mounted right by the plug outlet, like in front of it, maybe put a piece of either wood or a hard piece of tile or something that's maybe on a hinge that you can actually, and it's maybe, maybe somewhere in the area of 5 or 6 inches to 12 inches wide, and then another foot high or foot and a half high. And what you could do is you could hinge that and make it like a little door that covers up the outlet, that you can still keep your stuff plugged in, and it being this tile or piece of wood, this kind of hinged door, being high enough that as the cord goes upward, then they can't get at the cord either. So by the time that the cord is actually exposed, it's high enough that the rabbit can't reach it standing up, you know, like if it got on its back legs to stand up. So, and the hinge is good because obviously you could put a board in front of the outlet with the cord plugged in, and if you didn't have a hinge, then it would be kind of tough to, you know, reach your hand in there and unplug it or plug it as you need it, because if you had it far enough out that you could actually put your hand in there and do that, then there's a good chance that the rabbit could kind of squeeze its head up in there and get at the cord anyway. So, you know, you could hinge a panel on the outlet, and that would solve that issue. And that's pretty good if you're planning on using the same room and you have a rabbit for many years. That's actually what my plan is. I plan on moving Gracie from having her exercise room in the bathroom to having a gated, tiled office. I have a very small office, like a loft kind of office, and I plan on tiling the floor, taking out the carpet, because carpets and rabbits, they just, rabbits love to go after them. They're kind of like a rabbit sharpening its claws, but they like to chew corners of the carpet often. So I'm planning on tiling that room, putting a gate in front of it, and getting the outlets with some panels, some hinged panels, so that the rabbit cannot get after them. Now, sometimes you can also take, like, say you have a big desk with computer stuff, and as we all know, when we have computers, we have printers, we have scanners, we have a lot of cords there. You could either bundle up those cords, use the PVC to kind of consolidate them, the PVC pipe, or whatever kind of piping. It doesn't even have to be anything really hard. You could just put it in one of those tubes, and then as they're all rolled up in that tube, that's where you put the panel in front of that tube to consolidate. You can also, I have, like, I use a dining room table to as a desktop, and in front of the dining room table, I put one of those expanding gates, and I just kind of wedged it, leaned it, and wedged it underneath the table so that when I let Gracie out, because she kind of walks her way from the loft to the bathroom under my supervision, of course, she walks by that desk, and with the accordion type wooden gate in front of the table with all of the massive amounts of cords, she can't get in there. But let me tell you, before I had that gate, I would try to just sort of steer her in the right direction to the bathroom, and she inevitably would go underneath that table and wreak havoc with the cords before I could get her out. So thank God she never managed to get through, but it was just a source of stress for me, because she'd always tend to go underneath that table. So accordion gates can go underneath, you know, the desk opening as well. It's kind of a drag, though, for your legs, because, you know, you got to kind of, when you're going to be working on your computer, you got to take the accordion gate down, because it's obviously in the way of your legs. But it's one alternative that I just wanted to put out there. And if you do wedge it under there and you're going to leave, you know, your rabbit unattended, I wouldn't do that. I would not wedge it. I would make sure it was securely on there, because you might come home or go upstairs or go into the room at some point and find out that all your cords have been chewed, and you don't want that to happen. Precaution is the best way to avoid stress. So, moving on, carpet and linoleum. Carpet, like I said, many rabbits like to just grab carpet, dig. They'll dig the threads up. They will chew on them. If they can manage to get a piece of the carpet up, they will chew it, and it will be ravaged. Most rabbits like to do that. It's just in their instinct. It's not that they're being, you know, bad rabbits or whatever. It's in their instinct to dig. And dig they do, and not only will it wreck your carpet, if they get some of those strings that are associated with the carpet, like it might not be on the top side of the carpet, but the bottom side where they have those strong strings that are the are sort of the casing for the carpet. If they get that in their system, it could, believe it or not, wind around inside their intestines and kill them. Some people might think, well, if it goes in, it'll come out. Well, sometimes it does, it's not that simple. It gets tangled up inside the intestines, and they have to either have an operation or they have an excruciating death. So that's a good reason to keep them away from the carpet. Now, if you're thinking, well, maybe my rabbit won't go after carpet, then I would have them out with you and just kind of seal off the opening of the door. If you have a door in the room, close the door and just lay on the floor or something, or sit on in there and read a book, and see how they are with the carpet. I would never trust my rabbit to be by herself in the carpet. In fact, I don't even trust her when I'm in the room, because inevitably I could read a book and she could be in my loft where it's carpeted currently, and she would really start to drive me crazy, because she would go straight for a corner and start digging. And, you know, the whole time, it really takes almost no time whatsoever. It just takes a couple of minutes of digging before you got a bald spot in your carpet, or threads that's coming up, or the corners pulled out from the tacking. So, you know, you could do it in the room there, but you'll know pretty quick what they're going to do. You could also, the one of the best ways is tile. Have a tile floor. Because tile is tile, and it doesn't come up. So even if they found a little corner of, say, linoleum that was pulled up, tile is not an issue because there is nothing that will stand up. And most tile, no matter how much they scratch, unless they're, you know, really obsessed with scratching, most typical scratching that I've experienced doesn't do any problems to tile floors. In fact, I had hardwood floors with my big dog, and just her getting excited to go out for a walk every day was causing actually scratches and indentations around the door, and or barking at people when she was looking out the door. She'd get all crazy and her nails would go into the hardwood. When I replaced with tile, even with a big 80-pound dog, you know, getting all crazy with people coming to the door and so forth, the tile has been on for 5 years and there's not a scratch on it from her or any other pet. So that's the best case scenario, but a lot of times we don't have tile, and nor do we have the money or resources to put in tile. So another good alternative is most people have linoleum either in their kitchen or in their bathrooms, and thus that's the reason why Gracie goes into my bathroom, because it's linoleum in there. I haven't had the resources yet to tile it, so I've worked with what I had, and I have a linoleum bathroom, and it's held up pretty well. But I must say that in my bathroom at one time, it was several years old, and there was one little piece of linoleum that was sticking up behind the toilet, because of course they have to cut, you know, to get the toilet in and so forth. And just this tiny little piece just sticking up, and she was fine while I was in there, and then when I got more brave and had her there all day, I started to notice that that piece was slowly seeming to get bigger. The pulled up piece was pulled up, and then there was a hole in the linoleum behind the toilet about the size of a quarter, then a 50 cent piece, then a silver dollar size, and then went almost to the size of a half of a dollar bill. At this point, I thought, geez, what can I do? Well, I tried spraying, spray on it, like Get Off, like an organic or Get Off spray, but the hole in the linoleum still proved to be a little too tempting for her. So if you do have places where there's a hole or something where the rabbit might be inclined to pull up, then what I did is I went outside and I found a couple of flat stones. They were, one of them was about 6 inches by 4 inches, perfect, and about 1.5 inches high. I brought those beautiful little granite flat stones into the bathroom and put them right over those tears that she had already done, and I did another one because it didn't quite fit, you know, where the builder had cut to fit the toilet in. There was like two pieces, and of course, the stone could only go on one side because the stone didn't have a hole in the middle. So I had two flat stones in there. And they were heavy, they were wide enough and long enough and 1.5 inches high, and they were just heavy enough that she couldn't push them out of the way. Now, some people might think, ugh, you're going to have stones in your bathroom? Well, it really wasn't that unsightly because, you know, I mean, I'm not talking that I have, you know, the Taj Mahal bathroom. I have a regular old bathroom, linoleum floor with, you know, shower and so forth. No big palace or showcase there. And I had these beautiful granite flat stones that you could barely notice in the back. Well, I keep them there, and since putting them in there, it's been now, about a year, and no more tearing of the linoleum, no more digging of the linoleum. But I kind of keep a sharp eye on other areas, because as my linoleum is now 12 years old, you know, corners around the shower, they look like they might at some point be a temptation. They're not yet, but I do keep an eye on it to see if they ever become prominent enough for Gracie to notice. Again, if something is not too tempting for them, but a little tempting, such as the molding around the walls, then I use this keep off spray that it's natural, but it has a little bit of a bitter taste, and I spray that around certain moldings that she might be inclined to go after. Now, Wabbert, liked my other rabbit, liked to go after moldings, and so I use the keep away or keep off spray all the time, and that kept him away. But you have to refresh it every week to 2 weeks. Just put a little squirt on it and they'll stay away from it. Of course, when you squirt that stuff, the keep away, put a hanky over your own mouth, because the bitter taste in the back of your throat is not very tasty, let me tell you, and you'll understand why they want to stay away. It's not bad, it's just bitter. But just the fumes of this pump spray, you know, it doesn't take much, and it's in the back of your own throat, so put a hanky over your mouth and nose when you spray it. Just give it a quick little dab. And as well, don't spray while your rabbit's in there, because they're going to be stuck with those vapors, you know, while you've long left the room, and I'm sure that it's not pleasant for them. So I would spray, like, you know, at least a couple hours before they go in there. And what it does is it dries on the molding or wherever you're putting it, you know, certain piece of linoleum that might be sticking up, it'll dry on there. And it's not that it, because it's dry, it's no more good. It just means that when they would put their mouth on it to go after it, they'd go, oh, this is awful, you know, and they would just, you know, jump away. So that's one of the things that you can do to protect, you know, linoleum or temptation pieces that might be sticking out that you don't want them chewing, such as the moldings. And let's see. Toys. Well, I always put in some toys, some distractions, in the exercise day room for Gracie. And some of the things that you can put in there that are safe and also is somewhat entertaining. I mean, they're not like a cat or a dog that'll sit and play all day, but they do like some things and they like to chew things. So rather than having them chew the moldings and other things like the linoleum pieces or who knows what, give them some toys that they can chew and have and do it at their heart's content. I will put in there the used empty toilet paper rolls or paper towel rolls. They love to chew those, and in my experience, it has never made Gracie sick or Wabbert. And it takes over usually about a week before they pretty much chew the doggone thing completely. And that they like to have. I have also used egg crates, not the styrofoam ones, those would be very bad, but the paper egg crates where you get a dozen eggs or a half dozen eggs and it's kind of in a paper container. She likes those too. I just open it up and put it in there, and she has some fun with that. And when it gets all too beat up after a week and a half or so, I'll throw it out and put a new one in there. I save those up. But don't use the styrofoam ones for that or anything that has plastic, just the paper ones. Another thing that they really like to have is if you get a box, a package in the mail, and it's just a plain old box, if you take off the top of it, you know, you cut off the flaps, and then you cut like a door that's big enough on one side, and then a door going out the other side, and then put it in there, it's kind of like a room, tunnel room for them. They love that, and they will proceed to chew that, and which is perfectly fine. They'll go through it, they'll play in there, some might even lay in there and relax, but they do chew it, and that's what it's made for. So, you know, you can start off with a box, it'll last, you know, depending on your rabbit. Mine lasted several months before it was pretty much shot. And then, you know, in that time frame, I had other boxes, so you just kind of can replace. You can make as many doors and exits, but, you know, don't put a box in there that has no openings and the flaps are still on, because the rabbit could get trapped inside there. and, you know, get overheated or who knows what. So cut off the flaps and preferably make some holes for going in and out. I can imagine that if you just cut off the flaps and didn't make a door, that who knows, sometimes these rabbits can be acrobats and they might get in the box and have the thing face down and not be able to get out. So, you know, always make sure there's a little door cut out of it. For myself, I use one of those box openers. I'll cut doors and the flaps off carefully, you know, in my garage, and then bring up the box to the bathroom. And let's see, some rabbits like those little balls, you know, those little plastic balls that are for cats that they can bat around, that have like, you know, a little, you know, sometimes it has a little bell inside. But just make sure, depending on your rabbit, that it doesn't, you know, isn't the type that'll demolish the ball and you know, eat the plastic or the bell that's inside there. I haven't had any problem with either of my rabbits even remotely chewing the balls. But my rabbits are not crazy about the balls, but what they do like, or what Gracie likes, is I'll go in there with the cat's ball, and I will close the door in the bathroom so we can play, and I will kind of, you know, bat the ball over to her, and then she will head kick it back to me, and then we'll go back and forth. Now, Gracie is a sore loser. She really doesn't, I don't know if she's having fun or if she's really irritated, but it looks to me like she's irritated, like she's really batting the ball because she's annoyed that it's coming towards her and she'd like to get it gone. But I guess it's my warped sense of humor that I think, well, maybe she is having fun, and I keep going back and forth and batting it to her, and sometimes she even makes little noises, you know, like sort of like that, it sounds like, almost like she's irritated. So, but I do it anyways because I figure, what, she doesn't have too much excitement in her day. I'll give her a few minutes worth of getting her hair up. Maybe she's having fun and maybe she's just irritated, but you know, a few minutes certainly won't hurt her, and we'll maybe put a little spice in her life. So that's some of the toy stuff. Now, I always put out a litter box in the bathroom, in her exercise room, and you should too if they're any amount of time in there. I'm talking like if they're in there for over an hour or hour and a half or so, you'll want to put some kind of litter box in there. Now, I tried initially doing just a regular litter box, and I found that she would love to dig in that litter box, and there would be litter all over the bathroom, and that was a pain in the neck to clean up, not to mention the fact that there really was more litter on the floor than there was in the box for her to go to the bathroom on. So I found that a great alternative, and has worked great for probably close to a couple of years when I discovered it, is I got a covered cat litter box. And in that, I put her shavings. I used to use pine shavings as her litter box stuff, but now I use these pellets that are pressed hay, and they work even better than that. And I put, you know, a couple of inches, inch and a half to 2 inches of these hay compressed pellets, or you could use, you know, the pine chips if you want. And I put that in the bottom of the rabbit, in the cat litter box. I don't use a liner at all, not necessary. And I have the top on it, and she goes in and out of the hole, and she still loves to dig in there, but the good news is, with that top on there, not much comes out. And as well, the good thing that happens with those, if you get the compressed hay chips as litter, which is, it's actually, I get them from the same place that I get my rabbit food, which is, the Basic Tea Bunny Food. It is by Oxbow, and it is the Straw Echo Straw Pellets. But anyways, I get the compressed hay pellets, and the good news about them is you can just scoop out the used areas where they go to the bathroom, and it lasts a long time. And as well, when she digs in there, like, she doesn't dig every day, but the days that she does dig, I could sort of feel comfortable. She can dig as much as she wants, because it neither makes much of a mess for me, nor, you know, it's not very dirty, because she doesn't go very much in this box, and I keep it clean anyways. They're heavier than just normal pine chips, and when she digs with the pine chips, yes, there's not much of a mess, but there is more of a mess than sometimes, because she does manage to get a little bit through the hole. So I do like the heavier hay pellets for litter. So in any case, I will move on to the next subject of this. And I also have in her exercise day room, I'll always leave out some water, a dish of water. Now, Gracie's the kind of rabbit that likes to drink out of a dish. And Wabbert was the type that didn't want to drink out of a dish, wanted to only drink out of a bottle, one of those water bottles. I'm actually thankful that Gracie wants it out of a dish, because the water bottles, for me, my experience is they tend to, no matter how tight you get them or whatever, they tend to leak in the cage, a slow drip, which is, you know, kind of makes it damp in the cage. Well, Gracie, while I guess if she was desperate, would drink out of a water bottle, she really prefers a bowl for some reason. So I leave out a bowl of water. Now, when you leave out a bowl of water, you want to get one of those bowls that it is almost like a horizontal bowl. In other words, it doesn't tip over very easily, that there's no like stand where they could just push their paws on it and dump it over. Mine sits very squat, and she gets fresh water every day. I clean out the bowl, and she gets, you know, an inch or so in a maybe 4-inch circle tiny bowl, well, little bowl that's it's about 1.5 inches high, and it can't tip over very easily. When I had other types of bowls, she could get her paws on it, or she just throws sort of a tizzy fit every now and then, and she likes to tip over either her food bowl or her water bowl or her hay bowl, whatever. And with these bowls that are sit kind of flat to the ground, not a problem. And in fact, many of them are heavy enough that she can't kind of push them around the room. That's another thing, is if you can get a nice ceramic one that is, you know, just enough weight in it that they're not tempted to just throw it all around the room, then that's the best bet. If you have a real light plastic bowl, for some reason they get ornery every now and then, and next thing you know, they're moving the bowl all around the room. Besides water, I give her a bowl with some pellets in it with her favorite food, the Bunny Basics tea, and she also gets a small flat bowl of hay, Timothy hay, and she loves all that. She looks forward to it, and that's in the bathroom waiting for her. Now, the hay I put in a flat bowl as well, but for some reason, that's the one area where she has her own thing, and she likes to pull the hay out of the bowl within minutes of being in there, and it's all over the floor, and I've just reconciled myself that whatever she doesn't eat, she eats most of it, but there's still a bit of a hay to be swept or vacuumed up at the end of the day. So, you know, you can't be too crazy about it. You know, you just, you know, it takes 5 minutes basically to, you know, have a broom next to the room that you're in, or a vacuum, and just to vacuum it up and just attribute it that they're an animal and that's what animals do. So, always good to have those things like the hay and the toys and water, food in there, because not only is it good for them and humane, and they'll like that, and they'll have something to eat and be refreshed with, they also will have something to distract them and keep them from getting into any other kind of trouble. So Gracie goes into the bathroom, and, you know, she typically her day in the bathroom is hopping around a little bit, a lot of just stretching out and resting. And you could say, well, you know, they can stretch, and if that's all they're going to do, they can do it just as easily in the cage. Well, we all know that, you know, if we were in a cage, and it was big enough for us to lie down in. It would still be nice to lie down in a big living room, even if there wasn't a couch in there. It still would be a whole lot nicer and feel a lot better for us than stretching out in a full-length cell. So that's the reasoning behind, you know, saying, well, she's not doing anything in there anyways. Why can't she just sleep in her cage? It's still nicer to be in an exercise room. She really looks content in there. And then she'll get up and she will hop around and maybe dig a little in her thing, have some food. You know, she just hangs out and has a good time. And I think that most rabbits would do that as well. If you have a couple of rabbits and you've never had them together, then of course I would recommend being in there with them, because you know, some rabbits get along great together, and then every now and then you have a couple of rabbits that don't. So sometimes to alleviate that, spaying and neutering them helps with some of the aggression if you have two rabbits together. But in any case, you know, I would never have my rabbit, if I had two together, I would never have them alone without knowing, like, that they could be extended amounts of time alone and still get along. For example, there was a little overlap between having Wabbert, my little dwarf bunny, and Gracie. And Gracie, it turns out, is a bit of a bully. And because Wabbert was so small that she, the one time we had them out together, she really was bullying him. And while we could have probably pressed it and got her trained so that she wouldn't do that, Wabbert at that time, it was towards the end of his life, and he was a very sick rabbit. And we said, let's just not, you know, aggravate the situation or make him nervous. So we kind of never got over that hurdle. But, you know, it can be gotten over. There are ways to do it. And, but for us, it wasn't an issue. But I would never put a rabbit unattended, a couple of them together, without knowing that they're not going to fight. When I was a kid, I had a couple of rabbits. And my dad, you know, put them together in a cage. And I'll tell you what, those things, those two little guys, they fought all the time. And of course, I was so young that I didn't know what to do and really couldn't put two and two together as to what I could, should do. And, you know, they would be pretty beaten up at the end of the day. Of course, they survived it, but, you know, now, hindsight, I know some things I could do, but at the time, you know, you just can't connect all the pieces when you're a child. A very young child. So, moving on. Let's see. How do I get her into this exercise room bathroom in my case? Well, her cage currently is situated in my loft, which is down a hall from the bathroom. And down this hall, there is another bathroom, another bedroom, a laundry area, my bedroom she has to go through, and of course the loft, which is where her cage is. So I open up her cage, and of course she just sits and looks at me initially, and she doesn't want to come out, especially when I'm in there. But if I leave the room, kind of hide behind the thing, eventually she comes out. And the key is I have to get in there fast enough and not go after her, but I have to go behind her and close the door of the cage, which is, you know, accessible to her from the floor. Close it up because, I don't know, rabbits seem to like to play cat and mouse with you. And as soon as you see them, they see you, or they see you coming towards them, a lot of times they will hightail it back into their cage. And in my case, the cage, I can get the top off, but it's a big cage, and it's preferable that I can just get her to come out on her own and then walk into the bathroom herself. So I, you know, sneak up behind her, just, you know, kind of pretend like I'm not even interested in her, go up behind her, close the hatch to her cage so she can't hop back in there. And then what I'll do is I'll kind of go behind her. I could pick her up and bring her to the bathroom, but she seems to like better going down the hall herself. So, of course, before I've let her out, I've closed off the doors to the other rooms on the way to the bathroom, which is where I want to get her. Like, there's a bedroom on the way, and you got to close the door because I've had her in the past hightail into that room, go under the bed, and I have had a heck of a time getting her out from under the bed that was full of stuff underneath the bed of my daughter's, and it was a nightmare, but I did get her out. So now I close all the doors to keep her from making a sideline trip into someplace where she's not supposed to go. And I pretty much go behind her and kind of, you know, prod her a little bit along. And then initially she didn't just go into the room because they're kind of afraid of new places, rabbits. So initially when I first start taking her out, I would carry her out and bring her to the bathroom, you know, holding her securely. But now she's kind of used to the path going in there, and you know, she will hop along, kind of me prodding her on the rear side, you know, not prodding her or poking her, but just kind of, you know, like encouraging her to move along. And I do it in a calm thing, because the more uptight you get, the more they're less likely to go in the direction you want them to go, because they sort of feed on that anxiety or stress that you got. So I prod her along, and eventually she hops all the way in and goes into the bathroom. And once she's in there, I close the door, because I don't want her making any sideline trips underneath my bed, because oftentimes they go under the bed if they get the chance, and they like to stay in the middle of it, and you really can't get them out. You could possibly get a broom and just gently try to push them out, but they get all wigged out underneath the bed when you do that. And you know, if you have books under your bed or God knows what, you know, it's excruciating to hear books being shredded apart while you can't get the rabbit out. So sometimes, in my case, I've had to take off the mattress and box springs just to get them out. So if you can avoid that route, do it. So anyways, that's one of the ways that you can get them out. And of course, the easy way is to pick them up and carefully carry them, you know, close to your body. And keep their claws away from your face, of course, in case they get freaked and try to get out of your arms. But, you know, securely carry them into the bathroom, and then they're fine. So close the door right away. And my rabbit likes to try to beat me when I'm closing the door, and she'll try to put her little tooth, you know, how they have those front buck teeth. She likes to try to grab the door with that tooth and keep it open. Well, you know, if, you know, you would obviously want to carefully just nudge them away, push them away from the door before you close it, because you don't want to, you know, take out their teeth or get their head caught in the door. It's really not that bad. You know, they might kind of fast go for the door to try to, you know, keep you from closing it, and you might freak out and try to close the door too quickly, but just don't freak out. You know, you just kind of push them away. It's not that big a deal. You know, it's better to push them away from the door than to try to have a who can close the door faster versus getting their head in the door. So that's something to keep in mind as well. And I did a podcast recently on setting up, you know, like your patio or a deck or someplace outside where you could have your rabbit have exercise. And now that the winter's coming, I thought it was appropriate to do a podcast of setting up a room where, you know, you could put your rabbit. Some people also, as a third alternative to a spare room or a bathroom, they will put in, you know, maybe a garage. It depends on where you live, but if it's a really cold place, a heated garage, or, you know, if you're in California or someplace like that, you could also put, you know, move out a car, and of course make sure the flooring of the garage is clean and not full of oil and chemicals. But if it's, or lay something down, you know, on it, you can get those sort of folding pens that you can get on rabbit sites. I know that I've seen them on rabbitcentral.com, and they would be, oh, it looks like about a 6-foot circle or larger. You know, they're expandable, that you could put your rabbit in. You could do that in a basement, or you could do that in a garage, or you could even do that in the center of your kitchen floor if you have a big kitchen, and you know, just have a little litter box in there or whatever, and some food and water and and stuff, and they could also spend several hours in that pen as well. So that's another alternative, that you don't have to worry about cords or anything. Again, I use my bathroom because I don't have to worry about cords in the bathroom. I don't have to cover anything. All of the outlets are up high, and it's not an issue for me. So it's worked out very well in the bathroom. Now, if all this sounds a little complicated, it's just because I'm a detail person and I tend to give all the details. It's really not as bad setting up a room as I might be, you know, making it out to be. It's just a mouthful to have to say some of the tips and precautions that you want to do, but it, you know, if you really break it down, it's not that bad. Another interesting thing is when I let Gracie out of her cage and have her walk to the bathroom or hop to the bathroom, if I have something that's unfamiliar on the way to the bathroom, such as maybe I have a vacuum cleaner or something propped up in a hallway or at the opening or a pile of clothes or who knows what, something different that's on the way to the bathroom, she might be more reluctant to go past it because I guess their instinct makes them wary of anything that's different. So that's something to keep in mind. It's not, doesn't mean that you have to move it, but you'll have to expect that they'll be a little more leery and they might get that far, kind of smell it, look it over from a distance, and then turn around, hightail back to where they came from. Well, if you want to just avoid, you know, that reluctance, just move that thing out of the way so that they're not freaked out by it. Another thing is, when my rabbit, she's got a weird behavior when she gets in the bathroom. I've got a walk-in shower doors, you know, that you can kind of push the shower doors open on either side. And she likes it open on both sides. Don't ask me why, she doesn't go in the shower, but she wants those doors open. And she's used to having, you know, at least 5 inches on each side open. Now, if I have the doors open, all the way open on one side and closed off on the other, then she kind of like tries to scratch on that end by the linoleum because she just wants things for some reason to be exactly the way she's used to having them, and she wants the door open. Even though she doesn't go in them, she might, you know, kind of mount herself up and look inside the shower, but it's been a rare time when she's actually gone in. I think she's gone in a couple of times, but you know, she kind of just goes back out. But she likes things to be the way that they've always been. In other words, if the door is open, keep it open. If you always keep it closed, keep it closed. But once you start opening doors, they want them open all the time. And it's just easier for me to leave it the same way. You know, I mean, there's not much to remember in a bathroom as to how it typically is set up. So I just kind of keep it open on both sides. If you use a toilet seat cover or rugs in the bathroom, lift them out and take them off because they will chew them. Most rabbits will chew them. Although they love to lay on them too, they will chew them in moments of boredom. And there is moments of boredom, it seems like, all the time. At one point, I had just the cover on the toilet seat cover, and she used to love to sit on there like that was her throne. She would lay on there, and she would sleep on there, but she would also chew it up. And I went through quite a few of them, and finally I just took them off. And I just don't use rugs in my bathroom or toilet seat covers. And you know what? We still are living okay without them. And she doesn't lay on the top of the, you know, the toilet with the toilet seat, you know, of course, down. She doesn't do it now because it's a little too slippery for her to get up and down, so unfortunately, her throne is gone, but so are the ripped-up toilet seat covers and the risk that would be associated with her ingesting those threads. So that's something to keep in mind, too. Take off toilet seat covers unless you really know your rabbit won't chew them. Most will. I leave on very low volume, but I leave on classical music for Gracie so that she has some input, some creative music that she can listen to. I don't put it on very soft because I figure with their sense of hearing, being that they are the kind of animals that probably have pronounced sense of hearing with their big ears to in the wild to protect them from being attacked or snuck up on, I use the radio, and I always have it on the same channel, which is like a public radio thing, and it's on classical music, very soft, and I figure that might, who knows, maybe she likes it. Let's see. I also removed the toilet paper from the roll dispenser because Gracie likes to go after that, and she's shredded many a roll of toilet paper. So I just take that off there, and we actually have a shelf, near the toilet that's up higher, and I don't even use the toilet paper rolls, to put it on because I don't like taking it on and off. So I just put the toilet paper on the little shelf, and that's what we use rather than the dispenser because she likes to go after that when, not every time, but she does do it periodically, and it's never proved to be a problem health-wise for her, but it's a pain in the neck for the rest of us. So, let's see, what about, if your rabbit would go, say your rabbit likes to go in the shower where the doors are open, or maybe you have a bathtub in there and your rabbit tends to be a hopper, then just make sure that any items that you wouldn't want chewed that could be dangerous to the rabbit, or you just simply don't want chewed, I haven't had a problem with her chewing shampoo bottles or anything, but if you have something like, who knows, a razor or a bar of soap or something like that, lift them up out of the way while the rabbit's in the room, because you might come back and, your rabbit has been proven most of the time to be trustworthy, to be left by themselves, and then you come home and either your rabbit has gotten into a shaver or has gotten into a bar of soap or something and is now sick or injured. That wouldn't be good. So, precaution, keeping things that they shouldn't chew away from them. And, let's see, what else have we got here? Oh, cupboard doors, cabinet doors, make sure they're all the way closed, because I have had in the past, not with Gracie, but with Wabbert, and I would not put it past Gracie, that if, say, when you push the cupboard closed on your, under the sink cupboard kind of stuff, if that was open, a little, even a little bit, they can manage to open it all the way, and they will get in there, and they will do havoc. They'll get into and chew or just knock around everything that's in your cabinets. So I haven't had any problem. I don't have clasps or anything on my cupboards, but I do make sure that they're closed, that there's no corner that's hanging open that, she would be inclined to notice and then open up and get into. So that's something to keep in mind as well. And let's see. I keep a broom and a dustpan and a cordless vacuum right by the bathroom so that at the end of the day when I clean up, it's a lot easier. And it really only takes 5 minutes to clean up. And I keep all the stuff in the bathroom, the litter box. I kind of shove it towards the corner and put, her dishes of her water dish and food dish. I clean them out and then just put them on top of the cat box and push the whole thing in the corner so that the next day it's not just a big project to reset it up. Some people, if they're using a spare bathroom, they don't even sweep the floor every single day. They might do it every few days and just bring the rabbit back and put it in its cage at night. I kind of look at the cage like it's her burrow, and I put her in there in her burrow at night, and in the morning she comes out, and I figure, well, a rabbit in the wild goes into its hole at night or whenever it does, and that's where it sleeps, and that's how I kind of look at the cage. So when she goes back into her cage, it's nice, the litter box is been freshened up, it's clean, she's got her fresh greens and her food and fresh water, and it's a nice place to go at the end of a nice day in the exercise room bathroom. And I have everything ready for her. I give her one banana chip a day, just a little, broken up, and that's in her food, and she gets her nice fresh greens and her new pellets and water. And it's a big cage, so my guess is that even though she'd rather probably be out, 24 hours a day in the bathroom, I would rather not have her out 24 hours a day, and I try to make it still as pleasant, you know, kind of some nice surprises waiting for her in her cage, in the form of food and a banana chip, dried banana chip. You can also do a little tiny piece of fresh banana, and that way it, you know, kind of makes the pill go down a little easier, so to speak, of having to go back in the cage. And on the odd occasion in the bathroom on cleanup, if maybe she's, you know, I don't know, has a little mud on her, or maybe you know, a little bit of, I don't know, she made a little mark on the floor that's dirty or whatever. It typically doesn't happen, but on the odd time that it does, like maybe she had a little something stuck to her fur or something, then after she's back in the cage, I'll go in there with those Clorox or Fantastic moist wipes, and I'll just kind of, after I've swept, I'll kind of just do a quick rinse off of the floor with one or two of those wipes. And it depends how crazy you are about keeping your rooms clean. Some people might do the whole doggone floor every day, and some people might just spot check it every now and then. So, in any case, it works out pretty good. And, you know, in this exercise room, you want to close the door, or you could also put a gate up on that door. Just make sure that if it's a gate, like a baby gate, that they can't, you know, get through it. And that it's high enough that they're not going to hop over it. I have some baby gates that I use typically in certain situations, and it's only about 2.5 feet tall, and Gracie isn't the type that would climb over it or hop over it, so it's not an issue, but I know that some people may have rabbits that do that, and of course the best way to find out is observation. You know, try something and be close by so that you know what the outcome is after a certain amount of time. So that is it. Oh, and as far as other animals, if you have other pets, you have a dog that, you know, is into rabbits as in hunting or sporting, or might be the most lovable, sweet animal otherwise, or a cat, there are some animals that will never get used to having a rabbit in the house. And if you, you know, have, you know, make sure whatever room you put your rabbit in for the day that the cat isn't, like say it's a spare bedroom, make sure the cat isn't hiding underneath the bed waiting for you to leave so that they can cause havoc. Even if they don't do any damage to the rabbit, they might, you know, really torment it all day long. So that's something to be aware of. You know, some animals will get along great. My dog can be alone with the rabbit. She's docile as heck. And I don't do this, but I could leave her for hours with the rabbit alone, and I would not have to worry. But then there's some dogs, like my neighbor's dog who's come over, never would get used to Gracie, and I wouldn't trust her with it, because she's a sporting type dog, even though she's never been trained for that. It's sort of in her blood. So, you know, watch with other animals. While you may have heard that, you know, other people's dogs or cats get along great with the rabbits, it's not a universal thing, and sometimes you can accustom them to it and familiarize them, but sometimes it just never works. And in any case, just be real careful with that, because the dog may seem like he's going to be great and is good for 30 minutes, and then all of a sudden an accident happens and you can't kind of, you know, recoup when something tragic happens. So be very careful about that. Sometimes, you know, you just have to reconcile yourself that some things can be changed and some things cannot, and accept it and just be happy that you got two great pets, or three, or whatever it is, but they don't necessarily, you know, mix. It's like oil and vinegar sometimes. And again, do what you can do. If you can have any amount of time that your rabbit can be out of its cage exercising and having some free time, any time is better than none. Optimum is every day, at least for a few hours, preferably even, you know, a full day. But if you can only do, you know, 3 days a week, 2 days a week, 1 day a week, 1 hour a day, 1 hour every couple of days, whatever you can do, it certainly is better than hanging out in a cage all day. So in any case, that wraps up, thank goodness, you're probably thinking, this podcast. It's the podcast that is Runaway, and if any of you are still awake at this point, I hope that you've gotten some tips, and even if you've only managed to stay awake for part of this, or looked up from a stupor every now and then, I'm not the most engaging speaker, I would admit, but maybe in this time you've gotten at least some tips. So anything is better than nothing. A little bit is better than nada, as they say. I've gotten some emails from people with some suggestions, and I definitely am planning on getting to those suggestions. Some people have suggested that I do a podcast on behavior and personality and maybe even some fun stories, and I'm definitely going to put that on my agenda to come up with to, you know, brainstorm and remember, you know, some of the things that's happening, and compile a podcast that would address all of those things. I've also had a recent question about how best to travel with your rabbit when you have to take a road trip, and I will be addressing that one maybe in the next podcast, and that'll probably be a short one because I haven't done kind of a coast-to-coast traveling with a rabbit, but I have done a couple hours in a car, and I can lend some tips to that, and of course we all have, you know, some common sense items that we could probably all think of, and I'll just kind of bring those up, and we can all remind each other some great ways to make the trip, you know, more pleasant for the rabbit and yourself as well. But with that, these are coming up, these podcasts, and more to come, and keep the suggestions coming. I'm sorry if it takes me a little while to respond to them, but I do read them, and I might be delinquent in replying sometimes, but I'm trying to juggle a lot of things here, as we all are, jobs and sick animals, you know, sick dog, and husbands and children, and lots of different technology, all of which I love, but it delays me a little bit sometimes. So I do appreciate your attention, and I wish you all a great next few weeks. It'll probably be a few weeks before I get the next podcast out, but I'm looking forward to it, and again, thank you all for listening, and pass the word along, because even if we can only make one rabbit's life a little bit easier out of these podcasts, to me it's worth it, and you can be a part of that by sharing with people that you know that have rabbits, and maybe, you know, even if one tip is all that they use out of this whole thing, it still might make a much nicer life for some bunny. So help us out, spread the word, and go out on a limb with your rabbit, you know, and try to make a great life for it, and you'll be making a great life for yourself as well. Till next time, sayonara.